That's opportunity. Better jump on board. Make your business part of Velocity Radio. Get more info at velocityradio.fm.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
Welcome to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. Kenny, I'm really happy to be back by popular demand, or at least just by demand. I don't know how popular it would actually be. But in any event, I'm really pleased that we got Dr. Rhett Murray here tonight. And I know you've known Rhett since you got started here in Colorado, and he's, as I like to call, one of the older dentists, although that'll come back to haunt me in a couple minutes, as he'll probably tell that story as to when I first met Rhett as I was graduating school and was at one of those meetings, and we looked around. There were some of those older dentists, and I said, hey, I think you're one of the older dentists. But as we all get older and older, now I think we've all become one of the older dentists. So I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit about what Rhett has to say, and I'll let you make some of the introductions since I know you've known him so well over the years and coerced him into many different events and different obligations that he's taken on.
Yeah, you know, Doug, it is. It's exciting to have Rhett Murray with us. Rhett's an extremely well-respected dentist in the Denver area and actually throughout the entire state. I probably met Rhett, I'm guessing it was probably about 36 years ago, pretty close to that. What do you think, Rhett? How do you know?
Yeah, I think you're showing our age here, Ken, but you're right. It's been 36 years.
36 years. And we'll ask Rhett a little bit about his own bio, but he is the kind of person who is very modest, doesn't like to brag. He's been the president of the Metropolitan Denver Dental Society. He's been president of the Colorado Dental Association, served in many, many positions within the state and the local community. He has been a delegate to the American Dental Association for probably the last 15 years, something like that. He has been the chairman nationally of ADPAC, the American Dental Association Political Action Committee, which is just huge. And he led the profession throughout the political arena in Washington, D.C., dealing with congressmen, dealing with important health issues that relate particularly to dentistry. And he, I know, will have a lot to share with us tonight. And so it's a real privilege to have him on the show.
Yeah, and one thing, Kenny, that you didn't mention, one of his upcoming obligations, is Rhett is the local arrangements chairman for the American Dental Association's national meeting, which will be held here in Denver in 2016. So I'm not sure we may be too early to get an actual preview, but it doesn't mean we can't ask him about that and try and find out some secrets before they happen. So yeah, I think it's nice to see Rhett here. I know as we work with dentists within our practice, as you mentioned, Rhett's always been one of the top dogs. You know, he's one of those guys you go to, hey, I got this problem. How do you think we can fix it? And he usually has a pretty good answer when we come to that.
So. Yeah, I was going to say before we give him the microphone, because we might not get it back. Rhett is one of the finest dentists I've ever had the opportunity to work with. His attention to detail and his commitment to quality dentistry and to just taking care of the patient is unsurpassed by anybody I know. And that's one of the reasons I'm so proud to call him a friend.
Yeah. And the other thing about Rhett, which I like too, is that he never stops trying to learn. We were just out in Phoenix, all of us together, at a seminar, and you know, it's something that he continually, even at this point, says, hey, it's important to me to keep getting better and better. And so Rhett, we're really happy to have you, and now that your head won't fit out that door, maybe we'll keep you inside here and find out a little bit more about your practice.
So Rhett's a native Colorado, and so Rhett, why don't you tell us about, you know, where you grew up and where you went to school and how you really got interested in becoming a dentist?
Well, I grew up in Durango, Colorado, and my grandfather and my father were both physicians. My mom was a nurse, so pretty much it was just destined that I was going to be in the health field. But I decided to do something different and took a look at dentistry rather than medicine, and found that it was intriguing to me. I think I like being a little mechanical engineer at times in the mouth. So from there, I looked to dental school, and I went out to University of Pacific, now called the Goney School of Dentistry, University of Pacific, because Colorado did not have a school at the time. By the time I graduated, they did. But when I was first looking, they did not have a school.
And you grew up in Durango.
I grew up in Durango.
Dad's a physician.
Yes.
And was he bummed you went into dentistry, or how'd that conversation go?
He was not happy at first that I was not going to be the third generation physician. But finally he came and spent a day at my office. And I was probably more nervous that day than any other time, to just have your father kind of shadowing you as you saw patients. And at the end of the day, he just said, you made the right choice. So that was very good to be validated that way.
Tell us where you're located, Red. And for the listening audience, if they, and I'm sure after we get through with the program, they're going to want to contact your office. Tell us how they can do that, please.
My office is located at 2530 South Parker Road, which is at the junction of Parker Road and Havana in Aurora. If you cross the street, I'm in Denver. That's how close it is. And my office is, phone number is 303-337-1338.
And do you have a website?
I do not. I'm an old dentist.
God. Oh, my God.
What are we going to do with this guy?
Bring him up to the technology ages. So tell us a little bit about what you like to do, Rhett, in your practice. What type of dentistry excites you at this point? And maybe like a typical patient, something like
that. Well, my philosophy has been what I call preventive comprehensive care, which is first, if we can prevent something from happening, let's do that. So I don't want to be, call me as an emergency only type practice. I like to get my patients healthy. Now, the comprehensive care is that we will do whatever it takes, whether it's minor or if it's very complicated, then I'm going to use all necessary specialties to help get someone healthy. So then all we have to do is maintain them.
Seems pretty reasonable.
Not only reasonable, very ideal. You talk about using the specialties, and I know you do. You want to try and really obtain as ideal treatment as possible for your patients. But tell us a little bit more how your philosophy incorporates specialists into your practice.
Well, as a general dentist, you are educated in most aspects of dentistry. But as time goes on, you find that there are certain areas that you feel more comfortable doing than others. And then my analogy is that I'm almost like a general contractor. I know what I do well, which in my case, my practice just kind of evolved into a restorative practice. And the other areas, whether it be periodontics or endodontics or oral surgery or pediatric dentistry, if I felt if someone else could do a better job, a faster job, an easier result for my patient, that's where I wanted them to go. So that's when I started working with the specialists. And at this point, I pretty much do only restorative dentistry.
Which is pretty neat. And I know if we say that you can find your practice just to restorative dentistry, I use the word just, how complicated that in itself is and how difficult it is for someone like yourself to keep up with the new techniques, new materials, and to also understand what those other specialists can do for you and your patients. And that's something that I've always admired. Doug mentioned earlier how you are always looking for new education and trying to stay ahead of the field. And so I compliment you on that, Rhett.
Well, thank you. You know, in dentistry, I have always said that almost every 5 years there is a revolution in the dental materials, which will change how you do a procedure. I look back when I first came out of school, and our joke was you could either have gold or gray. Because those were the only filling materials. And now you look at all the different tooth-colored restorative materials, the different porcelains that we use, the bonding capacities that we have that strengthen the tooth. And it's come a long way from when I practiced, first started 38 years ago.
You know, and Rhett, Kenny mentioned really restorative dentistry. In the manner in which you're kind of practicing, it's almost like a specialty in and unto itself. Very similar to what we do in periodontics, where we're trying to stay current with really what's going on periodontally. Just to stay current restoratively, I mean, that's really a chore these days, and and particularly in regard to some of the technological things moving our practices forward.
It can definitely be a challenge at times. And as much as new materials come up that are excellent, every few years you also get the duck, the one that promises the world, and we see 2 to 3 years later or even 5 years later that material is not holding up the way that they thought it should. And I've always said, don't be the first with the new material, but don't be the last. But watch and listen to your colleagues and listen to your study clubs as to what's working and what isn't.
Extremely, extremely wise. So you talked about the new materials and some of the white filling materials. Do you still do silver fillings?
Actually, I still do on certain patients. The composites, the tooth-colored materials, are very, very technique-sensitive. They need to be in a very dry field. And sometimes you just don't have that. And so there are times where I will still use the silver filling just because I cannot isolate the area.
Great. How about, you know, Rhett, we hear about veneers. Can you tell the listening audience a little bit about what is a veneer and when you might utilize that as an approach to treatment?
Well, a veneer is a very, very thin porcelain. My analogy is it's almost like a veneer that you would put on false fingernails, let's say. And it's a way to change the shape or the color of a tooth or to close a space. Some people would call it instant orthodontics. I don't particularly like that term because to me, if you need orthodontics, that's what you should have, not trying to do it with the veneers. But it's a wonderful way, the once bonded, that you change a smile or the color or the appearance of someone's teeth.
Thank you. So, Doug, why don't you tell the listeners, should they have a question that, you know, they have on their mind, how they can call in and ask a question on the show tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Our call-in number is 303-800-4366, 303-800-4366. And if you don't take advantage of that call-in number, you will be remiss because we have Dr. Rhett Murray with us tonight, who is a unbelievably gifted general dentist. And if he doesn't have all the answers, he's got most of them. So if we do get any questions, I'm sure we'll get a pretty good answer. And Rhett, I was going to ask you, and maybe we'll do this after the break in a couple minutes, but I want to get into a little bit more about kind of your office, your practice, what type of patients you're seeing, a little bit about your dental team, and some of that regard, so that people know that who, when they do call, a little bit about what to expect maybe at their first appointment and how you go through that and kind of find out what's going on with patients from a disease standpoint.
But before we go to break, Doug, I'd love to ask Rhett, because this is something that I've really been interested in, finding out a little bit more information. He talked about how with those veneers, he can change color of teeth. Now, we hear a lot on TV and in the media about whitening. Can you tell us about the whitening of teeth that patients can have either done in the office or at home?
The whitening of teeth can be done either professionally at the office, in which we make very form-fitting trays, and then you put the whitening material in the trays and wear them for a period of time. From a low of 30 minutes at a higher concentration to just wear them all night long. The manufacturers really have bypassed dentistry in many areas and have just gone straight to the strips that you can buy over the counter. And I will tell you that those do work. How well or how effective, I don't know, but I have had patients who have come back with very white teeth and have been very happy just by using the strips. What I explain to patients is when we start the procedure, you cannot guarantee how white they're going to be. You can't guarantee how fast it's going to happen. But almost always, at least 98% of the patients are going to see some whitening of the teeth. What I warn them about is be careful not to get them so white that they start becoming almost translucent at the edges, because in a way they can almost start looking darker after a while.
Wow, interesting.
And for those that are whitening, there is a distinction between an actual tooth that's going to whiten and any restorative material, which will not change color.
We're talking about enamel on natural teeth. We're not talking about porcelain or porcelain veneers that are on.
Cool. All right. Well, Kenny, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll sit down and get some more information out of Rhett. And we look forward to hearing more from you on the other side of the break.
Great. Thank you.
No easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
This is Chuck. I recently purchased a new travel trailer found on trailerbroker.com, and woo-wee, did I get me a deal. I shopped around a lot, didn't know much about trailers, but the kind folks there at trailerbroker.com helped me find the perfect bunkhouse to meet my family's needs. Not to mention, they saved me thousands from what I was told was a special deal. Check out my friends at Trailer Broker today at trailerbroker.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices, a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 888-98-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
Call 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-987-8335.
You ready for this?
This is Velocity Radio.
Y'all know what it is.
24/7 at velocityradio.fm.
Singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, and tonight's guest is Dr. Rhett Murray. So, Rhett, right before the break, I said I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your team in your office, and if I was a patient coming in for my first visit, tell me a little bit about kind of what I would expect to see or what you would be doing and kind of how that translates into treatment recommendations and kind of moving forward from there.
Well, your first visit in my office, you're going to first have a comprehensive exam, which includes an examination of the mouth, the soft tissue, a periodontal exam, necessary x-rays that would be necessary to evaluate all the teeth. And we would talk about what your concerns are. And that's what we would do in that first hour appointment. We're not there to get your teeth cleaned. We don't know what type of cleaning you'd need. We don't know what your periodontal situation is. So we're going to find all that out. It's kind of a fact-finding, fact-finding in terms of what I see, but also for me, I had a chance to talk to you, the patient, of what is it that you would like to have done to your mouth.
And so time-wise, that takes an hour in your
practice.
I
spend an hour, yes.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, you see both kids and parents, or give me kind of the lay of that?
At this point, I prefer to see just adults. We have a few kids still remaining in which they're my third generation kids. I took care of their parents when they were little. But at this point in time, we're really not trying to see any new children. I like sending them to the pediatric dentist.
Yeah, and that kind of goes with your philosophy of utilizing the specialist to the
It is exactly.
Best. So in that appointment, that first hour, you do the findings. Do you tell people any what those findings are, or do you say, hey, let's come back and talk about it, or is it kind of a combination of both of those?
I would say both. We do have some patients, who are very, very healthy. They need very little, and I can explain that to them that very first appointment, and then we will treatment plan what we need to do right then and there. But where I have someone where it is a complicated case, I don't have the answers right then. I want to have time to sit back, take a look at it. And I might say to the patient, I need you to see Dr. Heller or Dr. Versman, and then we need to get together after they look at your situation. Sometimes I bring in the orthodontist. We have to look at the alignment of the teeth, and we may all sit together before we present a treatment plan to the patient.
Not too shabby.
That's great. So, Rhett, what year did you open your practice in Denver?
In Denver, it would have been 1978.
And obviously there's been a lot of changes that's occurred in the profession over those years. If there's any one thing that you think has impacted in a positive way your ability to provide care for patients, what would you think that might be?
That would have to be dental implants, which is, dental implants are the closest thing we have to mimic real teeth. And prior to dental implants, we would be many times looking at very long span bridges. And the problem with any bridge, it's only as strong as its weakest link. And if you were to get decay years later on one of the teeth that support that bridge, you lose the whole bridge. With dental implants, we may not have to bridge at all. It allows us to break down the treatment into smaller phases. So to me, dental implants has been the biggest game changer in my career.
Yeah, and in periodontics, I think I would have to say the same thing. Because as we look at patients and try and help them keep teeth and replace missing teeth, implants has really given us a whole new range of possibilities. And you and I have done a lot of wonderful cases over the years, and I want to thank you for being my partner on those cases, because I feel that we've really been able to help a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think back to when I first started, implants really were in their infancy. I know that both of you had done a bunch of cases prior to that. But today, I think they're pretty much commonplace or at least becoming more common. And some of the stigma that, hey, this is a big deal is not associated with them like in the early days.
I still remember in the early years of implants saying to my patients, are you a gambling type of person? Because that's what you'd have to be to place an implant, because I told them that they had less than an 80% or they had an 80% failure rate in 5 years. And in spite of that, I still had several patients who chose to have the implants placed. These were very old style as we look at them now. And several of those patients, they were very, very successful.
Yeah, they're still in the mouth.
They're still there.
Yeah. So, Rhett, tell me a little bit. This is kind of moving away from your practice, but into some of your involvement within organized dentistry. And Kenny mentioned the fact that you had been president of just about, I know, about every local organization and highly, highly involved in many of the national dental organizations. So of all the things you've done, kind of which of the ones were your favorites and which did you, if you had to do it over again, would you say, yeah, I really want to do that one again?
Well, definitely my favorite was being the chairman of ADPAC, which was the Political Action Committee of the ADA in Washington, D.C., you realize that very quickly legislation is passed that is meant to do one thing and has so many hidden consequences that it can affect our profession in a negative way. As an example, they would say, "Well, we've cut funding. We were trying to balance the, a budget." And you say, "Well, that's fine, but you just cut out 4 or 5 pediatric programs, and yet you need more pediatric dentists." And they would say, "Oh, we'll put that funding right back." 3 weeks later, you'd see that it was taken out again. So it was interesting to be an outsider looking at that and making suggestions to them that you need to put this back in, or you didn't think about this ramification.
Yeah, I mean, those bills, I'm sure there's a few things hidden in a few of those bills.
They're always hidden. We had a full-time person whose whole position was to read the legislation. How he did it and did not fall asleep, I don't know, but he was wonderful to find those areas that would affect dentistry. And when I say affect dentistry, it affects our patients too.
Now, was it true that you got coerced into taking that position by somebody, or is that not true?
No, not ADPAC. I was not coerced at all.
No? Nobody in this room?
No.
Dr. Hirschman, who said, "Hey, you got to do this?"
Well, my political career started by being elected as a treasurer to one of our organizations, and I was elected because I missed the meeting. And that was done by Dr. Hirschman here. So that was the beginning of my career.
Well, I've been to many a lunch with both of you, and I know that typically some of the discussion revolves around what committee he's going to get you involved in next. So
I'll let him speak to that.
Well, I think all three of us, yourself included, Doug, because you've certainly done your share, have had a passion to give back to our profession. And Rhett has really led the way. He is committed to making dentistry better for our patients and better for dentists and better for just the community as a whole. And the profession and the community are truly indebted to him for all that he has given and continues to give. And so, as a matter of fact, Doug mentioned earlier, Rhett, that you're going to be the local arrangements chair for the National American Dental Association meeting that's going to be held in Colorado. And I think this is the first time in many, a many year that meeting has been in Colorado. And so, one, I know the dentists are thrilled that the American Dental Association picked Denver. But I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what's going to transpire and what's involved in what you're going to be doing.
Well, what transpires is we're going to have between 20 and 25,000 people coming to Denver to go to this convention. My biggest task is to line up several hundred volunteers to host our speakers, to be greeters, to direct them through the convention center. We will use every inch of that convention center. The dentists, if they've never been to a national meeting, not only do you have a slate of the national speakers to listen to for several days, but dentists love their toys and their new equipment, and you will have every manufacturer having a presence here at the meeting.
Now, I'm not sure about the numbers of the convention, but is that one of the largest in the city? Or, I mean, we don't seem to have that many that big, do we?
Say that again?
As far as numbers of people going to a convention in Denver,
this will be a large meeting for Denver. Whether it's the largest, I don't know. I doubt if it was largest a Democratic Party convention here several years ago, but it'll be a large meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be bigger than the car show, anyhow.
I think so.
Yeah. Now, it's difficult to guarantee certain things, but I'm going to try and put you on the spot. Do you guarantee good weather for that meeting?
Of course.
Great.
I actually hope we have a little dusting of snow that'll go away as it does in Denver a day later, just to entice our visitors.
Well, it's always 72 inside, right?
Exactly.
That's right. So, Rhett, if we come back to your practice, and again, please tell people how they could contact your office and where it's located. Please do that for us again.
Again, my office is in Aurora at the junction of Parker Road and Havana. The actual address is 2530 South Parker Road, Suite 200. And the phone number is 303-337-1338. You'll be talking to either Monica or Marty.
Great.
And you're still taking new patients?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your staff, because I know that And I know your staff members personally because I've met them in the office on various occasions, but the listening audience doesn't have any realization of how long they've been with you, how dedicated they are to you and your patients. Tell us a little bit about the people that work with you.
Well, my assistant Heather has been with me for 14 years, and she's just my right hand. She anticipates what I need before I even know I need it. Debbie's been there. My hygienist has been there 12 years, and is just a very, very competent hygienist. Monica has been with us at the front desk for probably 6-8 years. And then the other office manager has been married to me for 40 years, so she knows me very, very well. And that's Marty.
And that's the real boss, is that correct?
She's the real boss, yes.
Yes. You mentioned your hygienist, and I wonder if you would comment, because this is so critical. Please comment on why going in for regular cleanings is so important for our patients.
Well, for me, that's part of my underlying philosophy of preventive care, is that we want to keep your teeth healthy. We want to make periodontally that your gums are healthy. And if you have a problem, we want to catch it early. We don't want to catch it when it's in a stage of pain and swelling.
Yeah. Do you ever use the analogy that I use about, you know, how often you change oil in your car? Do you ever use that one?
I
say to my patients, you know, who have not been on a regular cleaning program, I say, how often do you change your oil in your car? And they say, oh, usually 3,000-4,000 miles. I say, why do you do that? Well, to prevent a big repair problem. And I say, that's the same with cleaning and teeth. You come in regularly, it's minimal treatment, minimal expense. If there's a problem, you catch it early, and you don't have that big, major problem that has to be repaired later.
That's a great analogy, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. How about, what would you say, coming back to the career that you've had, we talked about the biggest positive change. What do you think on the top of your head you would say is maybe the biggest negative that has occurred in our profession over the last 35 years?
Other than not getting to work enough with us.
Oh, okay, got it. You know, to me, dental insurance has been such a two-edged sword. On one hand, it allows so many patients to receive dental care that I think otherwise they would not have received, especially preventive care. At the same time, because of contractual limitations and maximums that insurance have, because it is truly a contract, it almost gets in the way when there is a patient who needs an extensive amount of work, has a very complex problem. It almost gets in the way of the doctor-patient relationship when that happens. I find that I have to sit down with the patient right up front and just say, insurance is a wonderful thing. It's not going to help you a lot in this case.
Yeah, you know, Doug and I, you and I have talked about this a lot, and I think insurance, and I know you agree, is one of the most wonderful benefits that an employer can give to their patients to help patients proceed with care that maybe they otherwise might not be able to afford, even though they need. And then at the same token, that other side of the sword or the other edge is that the third party, the insurance carrier, who, let's frankly, is in the business to make money, really tries to sometimes interfere with patients' decisions and the doctor-patient relationship, as you mentioned, Rhett, and try and control what kind of treatment can be provided. And that really should be a patient decision.
Yeah, and in addition is the limitation as to the dollar amount that the patient is able to use. Going back to when insurance first came about, it really hasn't changed dramatically. However, the buying power certainly has changed.
The buying power has diminished dramatically. When I started in practice 38 years ago, the average maximum paid out by insurance company on a year was $1,000. 38 years later, I still find many of them are $1,000, and yet I can guarantee you that the fee has gone up for most procedures just based on inflation over all those years.
Absolutely. At least double almost.
Could be.
Yeah.
You know, Rhett, something that I don't know that we've ever really talked very much about on the show in the past,
and I'd like to ask you about is laboratory technicians. So the dental laboratory, particularly in a practice such as yours that is committed to restorative dentistry, I know the laboratory becomes a very intimate partner in the treatment process. Would you tell the listeners a little bit about the importance of that, please?
Well, the laboratory technicians can make the dentist look really, really good or really, really bad based on the quality and attention to detail of the products that they do. There's nothing that upsets the dentist more than have the patient in to deliver the crown and have it not fit and have to say to the patient, we have to start over. That can be whether it's a crown, whether it's a denture, whether it's some type of removable appliance or any of those. It's totally dependent on a technician. And what I look for on a technician, and I work both with some of the large labs, and I also work with a lab that has one person, is that we have to be able to communicate, and they have to listen to me, that we're in it together. And I find that most of them try to communicate, and they want to make you look good. But you have to be willing to sit down with them and say, this is why this didn't work. What can we do so this doesn't happen again? If they will work with you, then you stay with them. If they don't, you move on to a different lab.
Well, that's something I know that you've excelled in, communication. I know in speaking with some of your patients, they love the way you communicate with them. I know that you communicate very closely with the other specialists that you work with. And so, you know, when we talk about communication, I think that is probably one of the key ingredients as I look back on the success that you and other dentists have had, is that just being able to convey the message and, more importantly, be a good listener.
You know, I think communication is definitely a key. And for the dentist, sometimes one of the most frustrating is when you're not able to communicate with the patient. Either they are four steps ahead of you, or they don't know how to use the right terminology, and so you just don't quite understand what is it that you don't like, especially when they're asking you to replace something that someone else did that they don't like. And so what I find, that is where that first appointment and talking with the patient and trying to find out what are your goals and what is it you don't like. And we don't always accomplish that with just one visit. Sometimes we have to have two or three. And then if I have something that's not going well that I'm doing, we have to sit down and talk and find out what is it that is not right in your mind and what can we do to make you happy.
Yeah, and as communication goes, I think Kenny also mentioned it's not just that, it's with the lab and it's with your specialist that gets everybody on the same page moving forward. And really it makes everybody's job easier and outcomes that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. So tonight we've talked a little bit about veneers. We've talked about bleaching. What other cosmetic procedures are there that you perform within your practice? I know that there's what we call caps.
Well, when we put a crown on a patient, you know, the historical one would be a gold crown. We do not see many patients who want the gold crowns anymore. They want something that looks like a tooth. So we do a lot of the ceramic, which is what we call the porcelain, and the different ceramics have different strengths that you use for different areas. And that's one of the biggest areas of research is to try to finally have something that looks just like a tooth but meets the gold standard of being unbreakable and will give you, you know, decades of service.
Was that a pun?
The whole tooth?
No.
Nothing but
the tooth. So help me, yes.
The gold standard.
That was.
I like that. That was very good, Dr. Murray. And then you also briefly touched upon the white colored fillings, which are obviously going to be a little bit more cosmetic than the silver or the gold.
Yeah, the composite fillings, also called resins, is the one area that is probably growing the fastest. When they first came out, they looked nice, but they did not hold up well over the years. They're fast approaching the longevity of the old silver fillings, which gave years of service, but no one liked the looks of them. So I would say that what comes across my desk the most each year is the new and improved resin composite. And again, you look for this, you know, for the one that's going to make a difference, and you try to avoid the duck.
That's awesome. So, Rhett, one more time before we leave, give us your phone number. You are taking new patients. Address, how we get a hold of you.
Your website.
Well, you'll have to wait on the website. My office address is 2530 South Parker Road, Suite 200, Aurora, Colorado, and the office number is 303-337-1338.
Doug, sincerely, I've been so thrilled with having Rhett be willing to appear on the show. He's the perfect guest for radio.
Why is that, Kenny?
Because he has a face for radio. And I do want to thank you, Dr. Murray, because I know the listeners gained a lot, and we appreciate your participation.
Yeah, and we've asked, this isn't the first time we've asked Rhett to come on. We've been asking him for a while. He's just too darn busy. So tonight we finally got him, and for all our listeners, well, we certainly hope you enjoyed hearing him tonight, and we look forward to seeing you at our next show. Take care. I'm Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. We'll see you on Tooth Talk in the next appointment.